The message this morning is called Moms Who Love God and Their Kids. And I put Moms Who Love God in there because that's what needs to come first. And if you are a mom who loves God, of course you will love your kids like you ought to love them. But what we need this morning is moms who love God. Moms who love God. And it's natural for you to love your kids. And of course, you've given birth to this child and you went through all of that and labor and childbirth. And it's natural to have a love in your heart for that child you gave birth to. Do you remember when you first gave birth to them? Whether it was in a hospital or wherever it was, and they took that baby and placed that baby in your arms and you got to see that baby and hold that baby close to you for the first time. Oh, it's natural to have a love for them, but we desperately need moms who love God and their kids and their children. We know that moms work very hard around the home. They work extremely hard in taking care of their family. It's the most important work, really, that a mother could ever do is the influencing of the home and the loving the husband and training up children who will love the Lord and training up children who learn to have character and so on. How you train them and how you influence them is so very, very vital. We need moms who will influence and train their children in the ways of the Lord and help them to become a good success in the Christian life. It's important what moms and dads are passing on to their children. There was a junior high science teacher that lectured on the properties of magnets for an entire class time. And he taught them the reasons why and the reasons how a magnet was able to pick things up. And the next day, the teacher gave his students a quiz. And the first question in the quiz read like this: My name begins with an M. It has six letters, and I pick things up. What am I? You know what? Half the class wrote magnet, and half the class wrote mother. Mother. You know what? Sometimes mothers, they're working hard constantly around the home. They're always picking things up. They're always doing things. They're always trying to help and serve their family and so on. Mothers, we know, they work very hard, especially in a house like mine. Mom is always having to go around and pick things up. Moms who love their kids and moms who love their family no doubt work very, very hard around the home. Certainly, it would be good for husbands and children to help them to also learn to work hard around the home. And we have our kids, they have a list of chores that they're supposed to do each week and each day. And it works out good for everybody. They're learning character, and it helps their mom, right? And so we're to help. We're to help. We're to be involved as well, certainly. Ralph Waldo Emerson said this: Men are what their mothers make them. There's an old Spanish proverb that says an ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. An ounce of mother, a mother's influence, is worth a pound's worth of influence of what maybe they're getting in church. Listen, moms, you have a big role, an important role, in influencing your children. Usually the people who will have the greatest impact on determining a child's way of thinking and a child's behavior, a child's worldview, will be their parents. You know, the influence of a Christian home is important on a child's life. Schools and Sunday schools and friends, you know, they can all influence a child's life. And there may be things that can influence a child's life both positively or negatively. But the thing that will have the greatest influence and the greatest impact on a child's life will be mother and father. The moms and dads that they've had or not had, whether they've been there or been absent, whether how they've taken time for them, how they've taught them, how they've trained them, how they've set an example for them. And it's important that we be the right kind of moms and the right kind of dads that God wants us to be and that our kids need us to be. On this Mother's Day, let me say that we need some moms who love God and their kids. Moms who love God and their kids. There are some great portraits of motherhood in the Bible. You know, the mother of Moses cared so much for her son that she hid baby Moses in a basket in the bulrushes in order to protect him, in order to be able to have him carry on and teach them about their family's faith and so on. We see a very sacrificial, unselfish love in another place about a mother who she appeared before King Solomon. She told him that she was willing to just have her baby taken away and go to another mother rather than see any harm come to him. Some of you know the story of how two moms got to disputing over whose baby this was. One mom, her baby had died in the night, and she took the baby from the other mother. And they go before King Solomon to try to get some judgment on, well, what should be done? Whose mother is this baby? And one mother was just furious, you know, demanding, that's my baby. And the other said, but no, it's my baby, it's my child. And finally, King Solomon came back in wisdom and said, here's what we're going to do. We'll just divide the baby in half and give half the baby to you and half to you. And one mom was fine. The other mom said, no, please don't do that. Please don't harm my baby. And Solomon had the wisdom, aha, here's the true mom. Here's the one that loves that child. We read of some great mothers in the Bible. And some of us maybe can look back on our life and thank God for the influence of a godly mother. I know that Mother's Day can be a difficult time for some of you. Maybe you want to be a mother, but you can't be for some reason. Maybe some of you have not had the best mother in the world. Maybe some of you have a mother that's already died and you're missing her and the time with her and the talks with her. Maybe some of you are mothers that have lost a child to death. Maybe some of you are mothers who feel the pain of a wayward child or a backslidden child this morning who's not living for God. Maybe some of you, for whatever reason, are alone without a husband and you're working hard as a single mom to nurture your child and care for your child. You know, even though my dad passed away when I was 8 years old, my mom still made a huge impact on my life spiritually. I mean, she became a mom who kind of had to go it alone for the next many years of my life because her husband had passed away. But she still was able to have a great influence on my life. And whether you're a mom who, for whatever reason, you're maybe the only one trying to really make a spiritual influence or impact on your child's life, realize that you can make a difference. You can make an impact. I want to give you an example from the Scriptures this morning of a mother and a grandmother who made a great spiritual impact in their child's life and in their grandchild's life. Maybe it happened something like this. There was a young woman by the name of Eunice. And she got raised in a religious home and she was impacted by her mother, Lois. Her mom was a God-fearing woman. She loved to learn the stories from the Bible when she was young and she enjoyed going to services where she could learn about God. Well, one day Eunice got married. And then Eunice and her husband had a little baby boy who they named Timothy. Timotheus. Timothy for short, or maybe Tim sometimes they call them, or even Timmy. But little Timothy, was their baby boy. In the meantime, Eunice's dad had died, so they asked Mother Lois maybe to come and live with them. Little Timothy was a delight to everyone. Both his mother and his grandmother, they spent hours with him, and they taught him the stories of the Old Testament. They prayed with him at times. They prayed for him. They trained him in the things of God. Timothy's mother and grandmother created a spiritual environment in the home so that Timothy really began to learn the Scriptures and to learn about God and develop a love for the things of God. One day there was a preacher by the name of Paul who came to their town of Lystra. And he spoke about a man named Jesus, and Lois and Eunice, they listened very carefully. And they saw in Jesus the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies about a Messiah coming, and they trusted in Him and they were converted. These new believers, they in turn focused on teaching their little son and their little grandson Timothy about Jesus and who He was. We know from reading the book of Acts that Paul himself took an interest in Timothy and as a teenager and partnered with his mother and grandmother and was able to lead him to a saving faith. Later, Paul and Timothy partnered together in ministry. As the gospel was spread throughout Asia, Timothy would end up becoming a helper to the Apostle Paul. Many years later, while Paul is in prison awaiting his execution, he ends up writing two letters to Timothy. We have them, First Timothy and Second Timothy, we call them. Two letters that are written to this boy who was the son and the grandson of this mother and grandmother who had a great influence on his life spiritually. With that background, I want us to look at some passages here that show us how a mother and a grandmother can make a big spiritual impact on their children, even without the help of a father. How can a mother influence her children? That's my question. How can a mother influence her children? Here's just a few thoughts quickly. Number one, moms need to set a godly example. Look at 2 Timothy there, chapter 2 chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 5. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5. The Bible says here, wherefore I put thee, verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, talking to Timothy, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Moms need to set a godly example. You know, Timothy did not just hear it from his mother. Listen, he did not just hear it from his grandmother. It was not just some things that mom and grandma, you know, they preached to little Timothy. No, it was what he saw. It was what he saw in their life. It was their example. Do you know that more important than what our kids hear from us is what they see in us? It is 1,000 times more important. We can tell them this, tell them this, tell them this, but they are not going to do what we say. They're going to do what we do. Monkey see, monkey do. It's important what they see in our lives. And Eunice and Lois, as a mother and a grandmother, they set a wonderful example for little Timothy. Can I ask you this? Moms and dads, do they see a real faith in you? Do they see a real faith in you? Do they see Christ in you? Do they see any godliness in you? Again, the title of the message was, Moms That Love God and Their Kids. I don't want it to just be that my kids know, oh, he loves us. Oh, mom loves us. They love us so much. They would do anything for us. You know, they would you know, take us to McDonald's and buy an ice cream cone. And, you know, they just loved us so much. And they played with us at the park. We ought to do all those things. They ought to know that you love them. But you know what? They also need to know that you love God. They ought to see that you love God. Do our kids see in us? Do our children see in us a love for God? How can a mother influence her children? Number one, moms need to set a godly example. That's how you can influence them. Number two, pass on to your kids a love for the Scriptures. Pass on to your kids a love for the Scriptures. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, Paul reminds Timothy that everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. It says we shall suffer persecution. In verse 13, he tells Timothy that evil men will try to deceive people to believe the lies of Satan and the world and so on, and to not believe God. But what I want you to get to is verse 14, where Paul urges Timothy to continue. Continue. When persecution comes, Timothy, continue. When other men come around trying to speak false doctrine to you or false teaching or the YouTube channels get real popular and there's all these things out there that could influence your thinking, Timothy, don't listen to them. Paul says, don't listen to them. Timothy, I want you to continue in what was given to you by your mother and your grandmother. I want you to continue, Timothy, in what I, the Apostle Paul, have taught you. Continue in those things. Continue in those things. Didn't want him to have his heart turned away. He said, I want you to stay with the truth that your mama gave you. I want you to stay with the truth that your grandma gave you. Continue in that. Verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. The things you learned from me, Paul was saying, but also the things you learned from your mom. The things you learned from your grandma, who were godly ladies, who right from the time that you were a little child, they taught you the Scriptures, they trained you in a good way. Continue in that. Continue in that. Paul was telling Timothy, continue in the Scriptures, continue in the Word of God. Timothy didn't just fill his head with truth, but he internalized it and then he lived it out. He applied it to his heart and then he lived it out in his actions. I think Timothy did this because he saw it in his mother. Timothy saw in his mom a model, a pattern, an example. He saw in his grandmother, he saw somebody that was living out the Scriptures. And he saw in them a real faith and a love for God. They saw a life that was good and blessed by watching his mom and his grandma. He was greatly influenced by them. They loved the Scriptures. And they started teaching Timothy the Scriptures even when he was a very young child. Look at what verse 15 says. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Who taught him the Scriptures? His mom. His grandmother. That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. In the manner of devoted Jewish families who loved God, grandmother Lois and mother Eunice, they taught the Scriptures to Timothy from the very beginning. From the time of his birth. From his birth right up through his childhood years, Timothy's mother and grandmother were passing on to him a love for the Scriptures. They taught to him the Word of God. Maybe it's not true for everybody in this room, but some of you have had a mother like that. Some of you have had one once that were taught you the Scriptures. I've told you before how I remember, even through my teenage years, still then my mom was influencing me when she was just me and her were the only ones left at home. And each morning at breakfast, we had these placemats that had a monthly calendar, and she would laminate them fresh every month, and a monthly calendar that had a verse for every day. And me and my mom, we would read over that verse and we'd say it several times and we'd try to memorize that Scripture verse every morning at breakfast time. It's a way that my mom was trying to influence me with the Scriptures. Timothy's mom, Eunice, his grandmother, Lois, they were trying to teach him and influence him with the Word of God. They read Scriptures to him. They probably told little Timmy some Bible stories. They probably told him about Samson and about Samuel and maybe about David and Goliath and told him about Ruth and told him about Abraham and Noah. They did everything they could to try to provide Timothy with the opportunity to learn what he could from the Scriptures. I'm sure that Timothy's mother and grandmother taught him the lessons to be learned from those who obeyed God and were blessed of God, and maybe those who disobeyed God and found God's chastisement instead. I'm sure they tried to do things to try to warn little Timothy and try to point him in the right direction in life. And you know something? That's what parents are supposed to do. Turn with me back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. That's what parents are supposed to do. You say, well, that's why I bring him to Sunday school. Well, good. Bring him to Sunday school too. We just want to reinforce what you should already be teaching them at home. Your mom. Well, you're their dad. And you have that opportunity and responsibility, can I say, to lead them and to guide them and to influence them with the Scriptures. And that is your responsibility. We just want to help you. We want to help you in junior church. We want to help you in Sunday school. We want to help you when they get to be in the youth group. We just want to help moms and dads to help bring your children and influence them in the right direction. But you have that responsibility. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Look there, beginning in verse number 1. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord God commanded to teach you. You, moms, you, dads, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. That thou, moms, dads, mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee. Thou and thy son and thy sons, your grandchildren, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Verse 3, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou, moms and dads, and thou, mother, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, moms and dads. Verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. It could be in the morning time that there's a teachable moment. It could be in the evening time that you have to lead your children and do some family devotions with them. It could be that as you're driving along the way, you see things or you talk about things, or maybe you see something and it's an opportunity to warn your children about such and such, or to teach them about such and such. And take those moments, the Bible says. Take those moments throughout the day when it's at breakfast time or before they go to bed, whether it's through the day, whether you're sitting in the living room rather than, you know, just everybody having their eyes glued on this thing for the whole night, but to maybe have opportunity to teach them something. To share something with them. We're to influence them. Moms, dads. Notice it's first necessary that it be in the hearts of the parents. And it must be followed by the parents. Moms and dads need to set a good example, but then it's supposed to be taught to our children. First, make sure it's in your heart, but make sure then that you are teaching it to your children. You know, parents need to pass on to their children a real and passionate love for God and a love for the Scriptures. Timothy's mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois, they had God's Word in their heart. It was real to them. And because they had internalized the truth in their own lives, that's why they were able to pass it on to young Timothy. And that's why it made a big impression on Timothy's heart and on Timothy's mind, because he saw it in the lives of his mom and in his grandmother. They were influencing him when Timothy was just a toddler, when Timothy was a child, when Timothy was a teenager. They were influencing him. They mentored Timothy with their words of instruction. They mentored him by sharing the truth of God's Word. They influenced him by teaching him how to make the right decisions. They modeled the right example for him, because it was something that was in their own hearts and something that was real in their lives. Timothy, I'm sure, was influenced by what he heard, but I think he was even more influenced by what he saw. What he saw in the life of his mother and grandmother. You know, mothers, it's never too early to start teaching the Bible to your children. Never too early. Never too early. Even when they're in their womb, could you read the Scriptures out loud? I mean, you can influence them. Influence them. Influence them for Christ. It's never too early. Do you know, as they study children and so on, that for the most part, what a child is around the age of 5 is what they're going to be. So many things, many times, about a child's character and so on, and maybe child's attitude and behavior, has already been formed when they're 5 years old. Listen, we need to influence them at every stage of life and as early as possible, and through their childhood years and through their teenage years, and don't give up and say, oh, it's hopeless, I can't even do anything with them anymore. No, moms, you've got to influence your children. You've got to influence your teenagers. You've got to influence them for Christ. God can use you, and God wants to use you to instill within your children a respect for the Bible and a love for the Word of God. You know, thankfully, you don't have to do it all by yourself. A wise parent will bring their children to Sunday school. A godly parent will bring their children faithfully to church so that they can have their hearts and minds influenced by the preaching and teaching of the truth. You know, you believe this is the truth. You believe this is God's Word, and you want it to fill your heart and fill your mind, but you want to teach it to your children, and you want them to be influenced by the truth, by the Word of God. There's so much in our world today that is not the truth. And we need to fill their hearts and minds with what is good and what is true. You know, your children may be influenced by all sorts of things in this world. They may be influenced by their peers. They may be influenced by friends. Not they may be, they will be. They will be. They're being influenced by friends. They're being influenced by classmates. They're being influenced by public school teachers. They maybe end up being influenced by university professors who maybe some of them don't know God, or some of them don't love God, or some of them who even hate God. Some who may even try to turn their hearts away from that which is true and good. And it's so important, moms and dads, what you do to influence your children. Moms, influence them with the truth of the Scriptures. Are you purposefully teaching and training your children? What example are they seeing in your life? Remember something, you can have a great spiritual impact Whether you've got a husband joining you in doing so, or whether it's you alone that is the spiritual influence they got, influence them. Timothy, we find no mention of a godly father. Nothing of the sort. But he had a godly mother and a godly grandmother who influenced him. Who influenced him? How can a mother influence her children? Mom set a godly example. Number two, pass on to your kids the love for the Scriptures. And number three, pass on to your kids a genuine, authentic, real faith. Pass on to your kids a genuine, authentic, a real faith. A real faith. Real faith. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, we looked at that earlier. It said, "When I called to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." Even though Lois and Eunice were believers, Timothy needed to come to a point where he put his faith in Jesus Christ. Faith is not something that is hereditary. It's learned. It's learned. At the same time, when mothers model, when mothers set an example of genuine faith, of real faith, you know what it does? It creates a very fertile ground. It creates a good environment for a child to learn and grow, to learn the truth. It creates an environment where children could be motivated to want that same kind of faith as what they see in mom. The words there, unfeigned faith, means that it's not hypocritical. It's not something fake. It's unfeigned. Feigned would be fake, a facade. It's real. They had a real faith. They were not wearing a mask. They were not acting one way when they came to church, but a totally different person in their home. You know, the faith of Timothy's mother, the faith of Timothy's grandmother, it was real. It was genuine. It was not a facade. The front of this building, Richland Academy, it's a facade. That stucco that they put on the front of the building, it was a brick building, and brick was still in good condition, but it was worn out, you know, after many years, many decades. And so they put a facade on the front. They put that stucco on there to give it a new look. You know, when we are not putting on a facade, it's that everything is seen and it's real. It's real. Our children need to see in us a real faith. You know, we don't just have a faith here at church, but we have a faith that's real on Monday and a faith that's real on Tuesday and Wednesday and so on. No one knows better than a child whether a parent's faith is genuine and real. I think Timothy looked at his mother and Timothy looked at his grandmother and knew, man, their faith. Faith is real. They really love God. They really love Jesus Christ. They're devoted. They were serious about their faith. Notice the chain that takes place. There's Lois to her daughter Eunice to her son Timothy. It was impacting generations. It was generational. Again, we don't read anywhere about a grandfather or a father in this equation. That's not to say that the father's not important, because he is, and he ought to be involved, and he ought to be the spiritual leader and good influence and so on. But I'm saying this on Mother's Day. Moms, you can have a great influence no matter what dad is like. No matter what dad is doing. Impact your children. Have an influence on their life. Our faith ought to be generational. It ought to be passed from one generation to the next, and to the next, and to the next, and to the next, and to the next. I don't want it just to be passed one generation. I want my faith to be real and my wife's faith to be real. That it's something that my children see, that they then want to love God and they want to live for God to the point that they want to pass it on to their children and to their grandchildren. We need that real faith. Our kids need to see in us a genuine, authentic, real faith. You know, I'm thankful in my own life for godly parents and godly grandparents and the heritage that they passed on to me. Moms, if you want to pass on to your kids a genuine, real faith, then take your own faith seriously. If you're just going through the motions spiritually, your kids will eventually see it, and tragically, they may do the same thing when they become a mother. As you demonstrate your faith consistently by reading the Bible and praying and attending church and bringing your kids to Sunday school and by participating in the life and ministry of the church and so on, you'll send a strong message to your children that says, I love God. God is so important to us and our family. Our faith in Christ is so real that it's what's going to help our family and it's what's going to help your life. Listen, our kids need to see that in us. As I think about the kind of faith that was passed from a mother to a son, I'm convinced that a mother like this has to be more interested in having her children know the Bible and love Christ than she's interested in having them achieve any other thing in life. Your children and our children, they ought to sense in us that our greatest desire would be for them to just please Christ. My kids laugh at me and they make fun of me because they may ask me now, you know, Dad, what do you want for Christmas? Dad, what do you want for your birthday? And I tell them, and sometimes that little tear starts to come, and I tell them, I just want you to live for Jesus. And Ashley makes fun of me and she laughs at me and so and says, oh, come on, Dad, but what do you really want? I want you to live. And they tease me endlessly. But listen, do your kids, do they just think that Mom and Dad, all they want, they're pushing me so hard because they want me to graduate with this degree and this degree and this degree and become a doctor and all this. And they want all this and they want me to make so much money and they want me to make sure I got it sewed all together that I can take care of them when they're old. And do they think that all of your desires and dreams for their life are that they become that classical pianist or that person who's got so many degrees and they're so educated and so smart and make so much money? And because I hope we've got bigger desires for them than that. If my kids don't accomplish anything that the world says are successful, but they become a good success in their Christian life, that's enough. That's enough. I want them to have a heart that loves God. That loves God. That will live for Jesus Christ until the day they die. That will teach their children to love God and live for Christ and do whatever He wants them to do. It's all that matters. What desires do they see? You send a strong message to your children by how you live and what you emphasize and what you show is important. You know, a mom who passes along a faith that's real is no doubt a praying mom. A home in which faith is passed on from generation to generation has to be a home of prayer. And although we don't see it specifically mentioned in the Scriptures, I'm sure that Lois prayed for Eunice. And I think that Eunice prayed for Timothy. I think there was generations of a grandmother even praying for a little grandson, Timothy. And listen, moms, you pray for your children. Grandmas, you pray for your grandchildren. Pray for them. Influence them for Christ. We read in Acts 12 about the mother of John Mark opening up her home for a prayer meeting while Peter was imprisoned. In Acts 1, Mary, the mother of Jesus, joined together in prayer with the disciples. I think, you know, their children could have looked and seen, boy, there's a mom that thinks prayer is important. There's a mom that thinks prayer meetings are important. You know what their kids probably thought? Prayer is important. Because they saw it. They saw it. Timothy's environment was fertile ground to help his own faith really take root and grow strong. Why was it? It was because of a mom and a grandma. Because of a mom and a grandma who loved God, who loved the Scriptures. Moms and grandmoms, are you passing on a godly legacy to your children? Are you passing on real faith to them? How can a mother influence her children? Number one, mom set a godly example. Number two, pass on to your kids a love for the Scriptures. Number three, pass on to your kids a real faith. A real faith. Number four, quickly, pass on to your kids a desire to serve the Lord. A desire to serve the Lord. After Paul preached in Lystra and Timothy was converted, he returned to that town later. And in Acts 16, the Bible tells us that Paul was hearing such a good report about Timothy, that how Timothy was really growing in the faith and continuing in the Word and so on, that he wanted to take Timothy with him. He wanted to bring Timothy with him to start being involved in ministry even. There are three qualities in Timothy that were no doubt passed down from his mother and grandmother. First, Timothy was a strong believer. Timothy had become a strong believer and follower of Jesus Christ. You know where he got that from? Mom. You know where he got that from? Grandma. Grandma. He watched them. He listened to them. He was influenced by them. How did he get that strong character and become a strong believer and become such a strong disciple of Christ that Paul said, "Can I have Timothy come join me? I need Timothy's help. There's a lot going on in ministry, and I think God can use Timothy." You know where it came from? Mom. Mom and grandmother. It was Timothy's mother that modeled, that set an example. It was a genuine, authentic, it was a committed, it was a give it all, it was a I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back type of faith. It was a real faith. Second, Timothy had a good testimony. Good testimony. Now because he had a good testimony, because the believers spoke so well of him and he had a good report, Paul said, I need that man. Timothy's faith was rock solid. You know how it got rock solid? The influence of a mother and a grandmother. Because of a mother who spent time with him and sang the songs of God with him when he was a little boy. Grandma wasn't, you know, riding in the car with him singing, you know, "Kick me, Dixie, bring my girlfriend back, let me go for a roll with the dog," or some other song, you know, or something. I'm not a good songwriter, I guess. No. You know what grandmother was singing and mother was singing when they drove in their car together? "Let's talk about Jesus, the King of Kings is He. The wise man built his house upon a rock. The wise man built his house upon a rock." You know, their mom and their grandmother, they talked about good things and they sang good songs with them, I'm sure, and they were just influencing them. And as a result, that's what helped Timothy to develop to such a good character and such a good testimony. Third thing about Timothy is that he was available to be used by God. Available, willing, yielded to do whatever God wanted. Living a consecrated life, not selfish ambition. And now when the Apostle Paul wanted to take Timothy on a journey, he was willing. He was willing. You read the book of Acts, you see that Timothy was an eager participant to minister and to serve the Lord. You know, Timothy knew that it meant leaving home. He knew that it maybe meant some hardship. There's no way that Timothy's commitment and his yieldedness and so on and his desire developed without mom, without grandmother. It doesn't just happen. Listen, our children need some moms and some grandmothers who will influence them spiritually. Help pass on to your kids a desire to serve the Lord. Timothy didn't grow up thinking, "Oh, my mom and dad, my mom, she hates going to church. She hates serving. She's just a fake when she goes to church. She acts one way when she goes to church, but at home she becomes witch mother all of a sudden." No. They saw that, you know, boy, our mom loves God. Our mom loves us. And our mom is investing in us so much, and she's taught me so much. And my grandmother has been such a godly example in my life. And it helped to pass on to Timothy some good things. Some good things. The greatest influence in the life of a child could possibly be that of a mother. That of a mother. Susanna Wesley had 17 children. She was a busy mom. Busy mom. I don't know how she did it, but the stories and books that are written about her say that every morning, what she knew she had to do in order to deal with 17 children, Susanna Wesley spent an hour in prayer every morning. She said, "I'm too busy. The kids, all they tire me out." She said, "If I'm going to make it with all those kids." And she spent an hour in prayer every morning. She did something else. She took 1 hour with each of her children every week. Every week. She took 1 hour each week. And if you don't have 17 children, maybe you can give more hours. But she took 1 hour alone with each of those 17 children every week. Just to be alone with them. To talk with them. Things of life. Spiritual things. Teach them good truths and principles for life. How to live. That's what helped her to raise up those 17 children. and to influence them spiritually. May God help us. We need some moms who will influence their children in a godly way. Set a good example. Set a godly example. Pass on to them a love for the Scriptures. Pass on to them a real faith. They need to see a real faith in you. And then pass on to them a desire to serve the Lord. A desire to serve the Lord.